Living Springtime from Amazing Love Assembly Enugu with Bishop Amechi Nwachukwu ministering.
I have the privilege to welcome our daddy, the president of Amazing Love Ministry, Bishop Amechi Nwachukwu. I want us to give the Lord a round of applause. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We have prayed and we have also sang briefly. We need him. And I know that God does not disappoint. That's one thing I know. Man can disappoint you, but God will never disappoint you. And the amazing thing about God is once he's made up his mind to bless you, there's nothing anybody can do to unbless you. And by the way, God will not take permission from your enemies before he will bless you. Hallelujah. He will not consult the umunna and umunne. If he has chosen to bless you, blessing you, he will. Hallelujah. You'll be blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Iru ufodo kasi silike. Onduko ufodo mwele complain. Onduko mwendi mili maybe their program. If the rain spoilt your program, I'm very sorry for God. I apologize on behalf of God. Hallelujah. But listen, all things work together for good. To them that... Hallelujah. Amen. You know, last week we started talking on what we call, do you understand what the real issues are? And we are looking at the life of one man who had murdered a man, schemed it. In fact, what this man did, that somebody had a beautiful land near a government house. And then some of the friends, the sycophants, they went to the governor and said, why is this man having this beautiful garden in front of government house? It is defacing the place. If only you had this, it could be a park. You can make a barbecue hut there. You can do so many things. And the governor said, well, I don't know how I can get that place. It flew into the ear of the wife. The wife is a terrible woman. Her name is Jezebel. And she said, when the king came back, nah, but I go say, yes, I've come in. I have passed your food. Come and eat. He said, I don't want to eat anything. Did anybody offend you in the office? He said, no. Why don't you eat? Nah, it's feeling goofy and I like. Offensala. Utobele nijin sutari. I say, I don't want to eat anything. Nah, organ melon. But the man who owned it said he will not give it to me, that it belongs to his father. Say, ah! Are you not the king of Israel? Are you still the king? Don't you know you sign all the sea of oaths? Every land here is your own. Onye bu Naboth? I will sort him out. She sorted out Naboth through Magu Magu, Ndio Timbu, Nde Colt, Nde Wayo, Ndori, horrible Omonna and Omonne. They depossessed that man called Naboth. And once they finished, this is what the man of God said to him. Turn with me, because that's the background to our story. In 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 18 and 19.
Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who lives in Samaria. There he is, in the vineyard of Naboth.
He has finished killing this man, arranged people who said that he said something against the king, which he never said. Arranged people who came and testified that actually, you see this man? I saw him. Oh, there's a story I'll tell now. And I want to tell this story. Let me try to put some name that where so that even if the people are here, they will not. I better not tell the story. It's very dangerous. But it's like what you saw that happened here. People came and framed up what never happened, dispossessed somebody, and then arranged and on false premise, stoned him to death. So the king now was rejoicing. But what the king failed to realize is that over and above every authority, there's a higher authority. And beyond the higher authority is yet a higher authority. And beyond the higher authority is the highest authority. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So, if you can hear me, man can try, but at the end of the day, only God's will shall be done. Yes, please.
Arise.
Arise.
Go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel.
Yes, go and meet him.
Who lives in Samaria.
Mm-hmm.
There he is in the vineyard of Naboth.
He has come to the vineyard of Naboth and was now perambulating inside it. Yes. The wife said, if you put vegetable cucumber here, it would be nice. Yes. Yes, my darling. Thank you for getting the land. He said, if you put ahuchu here, it would be very nice. Thank you. Tomato plantation will be here. Very good. They were perambulating and plotting how they are now going to do some husbandry work in another man's property that they corruptly took from the man and on false pretext killed the man for what legitimately belongs to him. I have a message for you. If you feel that what is yours has been taken from you wrongfully, I have a message for you here tonight. I want you to know that Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord who is the avenger, is fighting a battle for you that you do not know anything about. And it will not be long. You hear the news. You hear report. You hear results. Because it's a God of truth and a God of justice. In the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, please.
There he is in the vineyard of Naboth.
He's there in the vineyard of Naboth.
Where he has gone down to take possession of it.
Oh, yes.
Verse 19. You shall speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession? And you shall speak to him, saying,
yes.
Thus says the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth,
yes,
dogs shall lick your blood, even yours.
Hallelujah. The man of God told him, you see this thing you did? Because you had the power, you had the instrument of coercion, you had the gangs, you had the thugs, you had people who enabled you to do this. They couldn't resist you. Fine, but I'll let you know that I am the Lord of the universe. And what you did to Naboth will come back to you. That was the background to our story of where we were asking, do you really understand issues? And so if you now go into that thing we are revealing last week, into that 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 1 and 2, you see the story. And then we jump to verse 33 to 38.
Now 3 years passed without war between Syria and Israel.
No war between Syria and Israel.
Verse 2.
Yes.
Then it came to pass in the third year.
In the third year. After he has done all he did, many years have passed. And that is where some of you are wasting away uselessly. You want something done to you in the morning, by afternoon everybody will see that you are okay. Don't worry. Our God is not limited by time. 1,000 years with him, with us, yeah, just like an evening. And I want you to know that God, for him, when you move into the spiritual realm, you begin to understand that time is a human language. Time was the first developed in Egypt by the Nile, before the Swiss went into the calligraphers and the calibrations of watches. Time is a human thing. And even the world today, though, there's no one single time. There are different time zones in various places because time is a function of human convenience. But when you move into the realm of the spiritual, you will find out that time ceases to exist. When you dream a dream of 1 minute, you will take 2 hours to explain it. Because you are moving closer to that ethereal plane where time is no more. Morning, evening, afternoon, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, they become the same. And that's why we call him, I am, that I am, that I've always been, and will always remain. In the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, please.
And it came to pass in the third year.
It came to pass in that third year.
That Jehoshaphat.
Jehoshaphat.
The king of Judah. Went down to visit the king of Israel.
You can jump down. You know the story. We are not going to tell you the whole story we told you last week. When this man now came, then they put Achikate 400. And then they found one man who came and told him what he said he didn't like. And then the king pretended that he didn't believe. He didn't like what that man of God was saying. That he was nonsense. He doesn't believe it. Yet he was the one who wore camouflage. Yield his uniform into the war front. You know, last week I said Onuku Igala. But I didn't know whether there are people from Igala here, so I'm withdrawing Onuku anything. But that one went into the war front wearing his uniform. Finally, from verse 33, we saw what happened. That's why, if you look at the story, he said, do you know that Ramoglia is our own? Do you know that that is our thing? He didn't realize, and we need to get to that, before that verse 33. Maybe you need to read what Micah told him from verse 19. Verse 19 to verse 23.
Then Micah said, 1 Kings 22, verse 19. Then Micah said, therefore yes. Hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne.
I saw the Lord on the throne. Micah was telling him, because he said to him, if you are prophesying that something will happen to me, look at all these 400 prophets. They told me that nothing will happen. All these churches I have gone to, every one of them agree with me. The other day, the people who came to marry in our village, we told them to bring 4 kegs of wine, 4 cartons of beer, hakulus, and golda. If they have found golda, I don't know if they found it. And then to get the other one, Henny Kings, they brought all of them, plus Odeku and Kai Kai. To make sure that when you are going, you do not know your direction. They all brought those things. And are they not going to other churches? Your own church, your DJ. 400 denominations agreed with me. Micah told him, yes.
Therefore, hear the word of the Lord.
This is what the Lord said.
I saw the Lord sitting on his throne.
I saw God on the throne.
And all the host of heaven.
The host of heaven.
Standing by.
Standing by him.
On his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead?
Notice, the prophet had told him, this land you took that was not your own, what happened to this man will happen to you. Case settled, isn't it? Now, the execution phase, they needed somebody who will lay on him to go in. He said, yes, so suddenly I remember there's something I left at Onisha. Where are you going? It's 6 o'clock. No, I must go to the keeper. Something must draw him. Somebody must draw him. Oh, there's this phone call. Yeah. Oh, no. There's something. No. I must have to be in the village before. No, I must have to be in the village immediately. So God was asking, who will make this man so that what the prophet said will happen to him will surely happen? And how? Then something, a thought came to him. Do you know you own that land? And you are just keeping quiet and people are taking it. Why not go and fight for your land? That's how he started. That's why we want to ask you, do you really think you understand what the real issues are? The things you think you know, do you really know them? Yes, please.
And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in that manner.
That's right.
Verse 21. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said,
yes,
I will persuade him.
Aha.
The Lord said to him, in what way?
How would you persuade Ahab so that he will remember that, hey, because if if he stays in his house, if we try to strike his house, we may kill other people. So we need him to be going somewhere, and then we know that some principalities, some blood-sucking demons can catch him and just get him to have an accident. Oh, we can get him to be somewhere and somebody can come around and say that everybody here is under arrest. This is our ID. We are police. Somebody just stole and we are told that the thieves are around here and collect them. So how can we? It happens in some countries, and as soon as they take them overnight, they are lost forever. How can we arrange it so that we can get some of these people and we can make sure that he falls into that thing that must happen to him? It could be what you claim is your right. It could be what you claim is from a friend. But it must look okay. And that's why we are asking you, do you really understand what issues are? Do you think you do? Yes, please.
Then the spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him.
Yes.
The Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets.
I want you to notice that. It's not for lack of consultation. They consulted, but their prophets have opened themselves up to lying spirits. The prophecies they were given was not accurate prophecy. Yes, please.
And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Mm-hmm. Go out and do so. Verse 23. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you.
Verse 26.
So the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son.
27.
And say,
and
thus
28.
Says the king,
yes.
Put this fellow in prison.
Put him in prison.
And feed him with bread of affliction.
Give him bread of affliction. And you will eat, but you will not be satisfied. You will drink, but you will not be full. Yes.
Feed him with bread of affliction.
What if I know about bread of affliction?
And water of affliction.
Water of affliction. If you are entitled to one cup of water, enye you one water. You drank water. Didn't you drink water?
Yes.
And if you are the kind of person used to eating two pieces of yam, they will get one yam and divide it to 10 and give you a tablet. Take yam and they will give you. Did you eat yam? Yes. You cannot say you didn't eat. But hunger, because that one is not even enough to satisfy the neighbors we have inside the stomach. Who said worms? No. Our mutual neighbors inside the stomach. You understand how the digestive system works? Yes, please.
And feed him with bread of affliction.
Give him bread of affliction.
And water of affliction.
Water of affliction.
Until I come in peace.
Until I will. The king said he will go and come in peace. Yes.
Verse 28.
I like that.
What Micaiah said.
Micaiah said.
If you ever return in peace.
Sherimada, if you come back in peace, then the Lord has not called me. Hallelujah. Yes, please.
If you ever return in peace.
If you ever return in peace.
The Lord has not spoken by me.
I will know I'm not a servant of the Almighty God.
And he said, take heed, all you people. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. Verse 30.
Yes.
And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into battle.
I want you to listen because we are trying to recap it. Some of you are not here. The king of Israel said he will do what? He said he doesn't believe the story that he will come back in peace. Why is he disguising himself? That's why we're asking some of you, okay, solungwele mamiri, okay. They said when the rat and the lizard go for kokomiri. That is, the lizard and the rat, they went to play inside the rain. When the lizard comes out because it has no hairs, it will do like this and it will be clean and dry. What will the rat do with all the hair it has, the fur inside it? So you are following somebody, but you don't know you have different destinies. Some of you are coupled with individuals that are ruining your destinies. Some of you are in affinities that are frustrating God's counsel for your life because you don't understand what the real issues are. And look at what he told this man. I don't believe this, and they are saying all this church thing, all this time. The person telling you is going to make strenuous efforts to follow the precepts of the church, but he has successfully deceived you to believe that there's nothing there. Look at what he did. He went and told. Can you read on?
And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat,
yes.
I will disguise myself and go into battle.
Did you hear that? I will do what? Why would. I think he said he doesn't believe. He will come back in peace, isn't it? They should lock him up. Then why are you disguising yourself?
But yes. You put on your robes.
They told him he would do what? Put on his own clothes. And he agreed.
So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. Verse 31.
Yes.
Now the king of Syria had commanded the 32 captains of his chariots.
And that is one thing you need to pick up in the spiritual battle. In the spiritual battle, the devil does not waste time with statistics. He is targeting some of you that are the prime movers. Because you are important to God, the devil will make you a target. And some of you are not aware of it. You keep on Did I put my form? They say the application has closed. You don't. Do you really understand the issues? You don't understand. Look at it. They were promoting people from 1995. They reached the year 2003. They said they would not promote again. The last my promotion was going to be from 2003. Okay, now they wrote another letter that all those from 2003 to 2004 will be reviewed. The promotion will continue from 2006. They jumped my own again. Do you understand the issues? The Bible says we are not fighting against flesh and but against principalities, against powers. Some of you only have physical eyes. May God open your spiritual understandings in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you really understand the issues? Do you know what is going on? Yes, please.
Now the king of Syria had commanded the 32 captains of his chariots.
Of course.
Saying,
don't waste time with anybody.
Fight with no one small or great.
Yes.
But only with the king of Israel. Mm-hmm. So it was when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, surely it is the king of Israel. Yeah.
That's surely the king. Captain radioed everybody. Direct armor. Artillery units, he's staying coordinate 80 by 33. Zero in. Everybody was called. Both of them in the Air Force, airborne, please. I want you to get to where he is. This is the coordinate, and I want you to start raining the thing. When the king also intercepted, listen what he said. Listen to what he said.
Therefore, they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out.
Are you listening? Yes?
And it happened when the captains of the chariot saw that it was not the king of Israel.
He cried out. What do you think he was crying out? Hey, Abramo! Abramo, the king of Israel. I'm wearing uniform on Abramo. I'm wearing the regalia. I'm not the king, please. Look, Abiam, if you see it here, Osim Dutianaya. Look, Abramua, I came to visit him, and when we came here, he said I should come with him to the war front. In fact, I don't know what he's fighting about. Look at my armpit. There's nothing. It's not me. Yes.
And it happened when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him.
That's right.
Verse 34. Now a certain man drew a bow at random.
One man. I can understand this so clearly. Somebody, they just finished, came back to base. Nah, the battle, they almost finished me today. Say, check your magazine to be sure there's nothing lodged inside. Just at random. Yes?
A certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor.
Because inside that bullet, lodged inside, somebody's name was there. What's the name? Ahab.
So he said to the driver of his chariot, turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am wounded. Verse 35.
Yes.
The battle increased that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot, facing the Syrians, and died at evening. The blood ran out from the wound onto the floor of the chariot. Then, as the sun was going down, a shout went throughout the
Verse 37.
So the king died.
Verse 38.
Then someone washed the chariot at a pool in Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood while the harlots bathed, according to the word of the Lord which he had spoken.
Hallelujah. When he killed Naboth, they told him, somebody, as this person died, so also dogs will eat and lick your blood. Is that not so? Now, how was it going to happen that will get him to where he will be killed? In the spiritual. Do you understand what the real issues are? Some of you dabble into things you don't know. That was what we were doing last week. Some of you dabble into relationships that you have never even cared to think through. Some of you are into matters of business and things that you don't even realize. You don't even know that when you mix good money and bad money, that business must go down. Because if you want to build anything like in this edifice where we are celebrity, and you want to build anything, you must excavate down to the foundation. You cannot build on top of rubble. It will tumble. You get to a solid base and make sure before you put your concrete mixes and concrete footing and any other thing you want to do, whether you build with pillars or anything you want to. Some of you are into intertwining things. You've collected things from others. God has chosen to bless you, but you have bought stolen things to enhance your wealth, to enhance your riches, to enhance your business. You've been involved in swindling, in so many things that should not even have been your portion. But the devil has seen God bless in coming, and he got you intertwined because you don't understand what the real issues are. You think the issue is a question of profit and loss, but you didn't know that the issue was far more than that. And what the devil wanted was to checkmate the blessing of God in your life, and you foolishly opened the door. Today, we'll continue and conclude the second part of it, like we promised you. And we are concluding it on another trail and on another question, which we are asking and saying that things are not as ordinary as you think. You see, things, they are not as ordinary as you think. Hey, no, I just came in here to drink ordinary tea. It's not like that, though. It's not. Things are not as ordinary as you think. Life is not black and white. There are much, much more gray areas. And those of them who are studied in physics will tell you that light is illusionary. Colors do not exist. For after all, you pass through the pass light through prism, you have colors of the rainbow. Otherwise, what you get on pure transmission is white. So let's get it true that things are not what you think they are. There are basic realities of issues that you need to be able to understand. As we are asking you, things are not as ordinary as you think. There was one man in the Bible who understood it. He was born into a family, and in that family, that young man understood that even though the people were his brothers and sisters, that he had a different destiny. And he knew that for him to make a difference, he needed to connect to the living God who will connect him to his eternal destiny. And he prayed a prayer that people love to pray. Let's just read that prayer, because it's not our text, before we go to our text. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Things are not as ordinary as you think. They are not. No, they are not. There's a spiritual dimension to your being. What you may consider ordinary, do you know that the schools you went to, the trade you learned, where you're living, some of you came in here, a friend invited you, others are in other places, you invited others. It's not the way you think. Your friend may have just been an instrument, but you are here to keep a divine appointment. Yes, please.
1 Chronicles chapter 4.
Yes.
Verse 9 and 10.
Yes, please.
Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And his mother called his name Jabez.
That's right.
Saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, mm-hmm. saying, oh, that you will bless me indeed. And enlarge my territory.
You see it? He realized he was born in pain, that actually he was born in a poor family, and that some of his uncles were maltreating his parents, and that things were getting difficult for him, but he knew that things were not ordinary. Jabez called on the living God. Listen, yes?
Oh, that you will bless me indeed.
God, bless me indeed.
And enlarge my territory.
Lord, enlarge my territory. Make me to be prosperous.
that your hand will be with me.
Let your hand be with me.
And that you will keep me from evil.
Keep me from being an evil person.
That I may not cause pain.
So that I will not cause pain.
So God granted him what he requested.
And the Lord will grant the request of any who will pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Tonight, we want to look into the life of a young man. A very beautiful young man. Handsome young man. Tall. The desire of most women. From a very rich family. An aristocrat. He had the latest car in town. He didn't have to struggle for it like some of us. The parents bought it for him. His fixed account in the Swiss bank could pay the debt of some states in certain ninth world countries. This guy was so rich that he didn't need to do anything. But it wasn't his riches that attracted God. There was something about his character that attracted God. And God wanted him to do something for him. He didn't know how that will come about. But God arranged what looked like ordinary. And by the time he finished the ordinary things, he found out that things are not as ordinary as you think. You see these things? You see this world we are living in? It's not as ordinary as you think. 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. It's in the Old Testament from verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 9 from verse 1. Yes, please. Verse 1 and 2. Yes.
There was a man of Benjamin.
I want you to note what is being said. A man of Benjamin, yes.
Whose name was Kish.
His name was Kish.
The son of Abiel.
Benjamin was the son of the second wife of Jacob. That the name was Rachel. And he loved her so much. He had two sons. Joseph and Benjamin. And he loved Benjamin. And all that. So, this man was from a beloved tribe. Though they were small. Yes?
There was a man of Benjamin.
Man of Benjamin.
Whose name was Kish.
Kish.
The son of Abiel.
Abiel. Abiel was a very wealthy family in Benjamin.
The son of Zerah. The son of Bechorath.
Yes.
The son of Aphia, a Benjamite. A mighty man of power.
A mighty man of power. Wealth. Yes.
Verse 2.
Yes.
And he had a choice and handsome son.
Did you hear that? Because I'm sure when I was telling you, you thought, this man is the Italian. He had what? A choice and a handsome son. And some ladies, I can't agree. Go on again. He had what?
A choice and handsome son.
Good. Choice and handsome. Yes?
I'm going again. Whose name was Saul.
Yes?
There was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel.
Yes.
From his shoulders upward.
Shoulder upwards.
He was taller than any of the people.
From shoulder upwards, he was taller than everybody.
Verse 3. Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, we are lost.
Excuse me. Verse 3 now. Yes, you read verse 3 and you stop at verse... let's just pick up verse 3 to verse 7. Now, something happened. This man that we are told about, something happened. He was having sheep, having animals, and all of a sudden, if you have ever kept any of these things, they refuse to come back sometimes. So, something happened. Yes?
Now, the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to his son, Saul, please take one of the servants with you and arise, go and look for the donkeys.
The father, knowing how it was necessary, told his son to go look for it. He should, but he needed a bodyguard. He needed somebody who can escort him because he was a royalty. It was not okay to just send him alone. He said, take one of the people and let him follow you to go and look for the lost sheep. So they went from New Haven to Acharale out. From Acharale out to US of A. No one ever did. Who deciding area? They went to that area. And then they proceeded from that side to this side of Transekulu. Yes?
So he passed through the mountains of Ephraim.
He passed through the mountains of Ephraim.
And through the land of Shalisha.
The land of Shalisha.
But they did not find them.
They didn't find them.
Then they passed through the land of Shalim. And they were not there. Then he passed through the land of the Benjamites.
He passed through the land of almost full circle again. It was not there.
Verse 5.
Yes.
When they had come to the land of Zuf.
They came to the land of Zuf. After they were leaving Amen, almost passing through the airport area, they were continuing.
Saul said to his servant who was with him.
Saul now said to his servant.
Come, let us return.
Let us go back, oh.
Lest my father cease caring about the donkeys.
If I know my father very well, he will say, how can you be looking for the animal for 1 week? You made me, I was also looking for you. Yes?
And become worried about us. Verse 6. And he said to him, look now, there is in this city a man of God, and he's an honorable man. All that he says surely comes to pass. So let us go there. Perhaps he can show us the way that we should go.
Amen. 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 Have you read verse 7?
No.
Verse 7.
Verse 7 now. Then Saul said to his servant, but look, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread in our vessels is all gone, and there is no present to bring to the man of God. What do we have?
I don't want to emphasize that, else you misunderstand it. But in those days, you don't go, just go to a man of God's house. Man of God, don't you say, email. In Nigeria, I'm a doctor. You don't go to a man of God's house just empty-handed like that. When you visit a man of God, you visit him with something. No matter where you're coming from, your man of God or woman of God is the most precious gift you have. And if you have proper connection, nothing will hinder your blessing because you have a prayer cover, whether you know it or not. Let's again say what happened. There was a sheep lost. There was something they took away. Something that was taken. God was going to do something. If you tell the story, their father lost the sheep. So he told Saul to go look for it. I think that's the story, isn't it? That's the setting. But beyond that, there was a divine hand that was guiding things. You probably came here as an invitation. But I want you to know that today is a divine appointment. You were here last week, but God had a purpose for bringing you. Let's continue our story from verse 13.
Verse 13.
Yes, please.
As soon as you come into the city, you will surely find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. Mm-hmm. For the people will not eat until he comes.
Verse 15.
Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear the day before Saul came, saying,
I want you to listen carefully what God told Samuel, yes?
Tomorrow about this time, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin.
Did you hear that? What did God tell Samuel? What will God tell Prophet Samuel? That tomorrow about this time I'll do what? From where? Where was the sheep lost? Benjamin. Where was Saul from? Benjamin. Do you think his father would have released him to go on this hazardous journey? No. But God knew, if I make the sheep to be lost, the father can say, Nwachori ajebe. Just as the devil drew Ahab out in order to destroy, God will also draw you to the place where he can reach you. Yeah. Don't fail your divine appointment in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, please.
Tomorrow about this time. I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin.
I will send you a man.
And you shall anoint him commander over my people Israel.
Did you hear what God is telling him? The person I will send, did Saul know when he left his house that he was going to be appointed anything? What did he go out looking for? Some of you may think, I just came to buy something in post office. And I met this person. Yeah. Every step of the righteous is ordered by the Lord. The moment you key in with the divine spirit of the living God. The moment you agree that God should. So many people say they are Christians, but they have not surrendered themselves. They are the Lord of their life. They do what they want to. They go to where they want to. They think what they want to. That's why, even though what we are saying applies to the Christian, Even though they have been Christians for long, it doesn't apply because they have not surrendered. But I'm telling you, if you would allow Jesus to step in and take over the life and control you, you will find out that even, let me just get down. Like some of the things we are told that happened in some of the war zones. People will be in a house. Like what happened in the World Trade Center. Apart from the conspiracy theories. Some people got up that morning and said, "No, I don't feel like going to work. I don't feel like going to work." I'm not talking about the story that no Jew was there, this and that. I don't know the story. But this one, I don't want to go to work. What is the problem? I don't know, I have headache. Even if I'll go, let it be later in the afternoon. There was no building to go to in the afternoon. By afternoon, they had jammed two planes into the place. It had collapsed. 9/11. It could just be just stepping outside. Like the one man we were told one time, he stepped outside his vehicle. Another vehicle came and crushed the motor just as he stepped out to buy something. My friend, these things are not as ordinary as you think. You may not see spirit. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. That unless I can see it, unless I can touch it, unless I can feel it, you are limited by your senses. Even the basic rudimentary philosophy 101 will tell you that that is not good reasoning. That you can't see or feel anything doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Everything is not a matter of empiricist. There are certain things you accept by deductive reasoning. Just like you know that tomorrow will be Wednesday. There's no way you can prove it in the lab. They can never prove that the sun will rise tomorrow in any lab in this world or in outer space. But because it has always been, we can accept and deduce that tomorrow will be Wednesday and the sun will rise again. There's no way. You see, there's something here. Can you continue with that again?
Tomorrow about this time.
Tomorrow about this time.
I will send you a man from the land of
Israel. I'll send you a man.
And you shall anoint him commander over my people Israel.
Can you imagine? What if Saul was disobedient to his parents? What if the father told him to go and do it? He said, I just say I know you get your chunk, a wooflefu, about more. Why can't this man just send another person to go and do it? Why should my father always be bothering me? If I don't go now, he said I'm disobedient to my parents. Why couldn't my father send any other person? Why must he send me to go and do this thing? In fact, I know what I will do. I'll know what I will do. Do you have your phone here? Yeah? I can use your phone. I'll phone some of my friends. Hello? Okay. Okay, ma, you know that our goat now, that other black goat, my father says it's lost. You know my popsy is one kind man like that. Nah, and he says it's lost somewhere. Is it Go Park or New Haven? I don't know. Make you collect some of those our guys, make you now look for them. I'll give you now some money tomorrow. Okay, thank you. Make I just find one where I go find hide. The man they give me a letter. No, thank you. Okay, call me again if you not see him, okay? Okay, thank you. Nah, thank you, Jerry. What if he did that? What if he never went? What if he told himself, what is all this? He went ordinarily. Go and wash my car. He did. Go and look for this without knowing he was keeping a date with destiny. That's why we're telling you, things are not as ordinary as you think. And if you don't know how things are not as ordinary, and when you don't understand the real issues, you may miss your divine appointment for good. Yes, please.
Tomorrow about this time. I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin.
Mm-hmm.
And you shall anoint him commander over my people Israel.
That's right.
That he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines.
Oh-ho.
For I have looked upon my people, because their cry has come to me. Verse 17.
Yes, you stop at verse 20.
So when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, "There he is."
Did you hear that? This man who came looking for his father's goat and dogs, when Samuel saw him, did Saul know that Samuel was communicating with God? Did he know what was going on? I've told you people my story. Some of you have listened to it. I went to study in America. The first time I went to study there, my parents could never have paid for my school fees, not even my flight, even if they sold everything they had. I knew that. Because I know what they had and I know how encumbered some of them were. So I knew that. But you see, I went for a debate we were having with a teacher's college. I was then in the seminary. And I went for a debate. And after the debate, one of the Americans, they say, young man, what's your plan? I said, what? He said, you know, you made sense. I said, thank God. I continued my way. Going home. The boy in Elaka, man, he kept step with me. I said, you made sense. I said, I heard you, sir. Thank you, sir. He said, what's your plan for studying abroad? I said, okay, I'm planning to go to Canada. By then, everybody in our school were writing to one place. So I wrote to Acadia in Canada. He said, why don't you study in America? I said, America, I never thought about it. He said, okay, I'll help you. But how are you planning to pay your school fees? I said, oh, my father will help me. Because my father died 20 years ago, I went to seminary. So, madam. A debate. He said, I'll help you. And that was how he helped. I think that time $100 is something he paid it to collect the pre-application form and how they manage the scholarship and all that. Finally, I found myself going to study there to do both my first and second degree programs. And I found out, how did I have the opportunity of scholarship? Because an ordinary debate that I put my heart to go do this thing as unto the Lord, and to defend, what was the debate about? Islam versus Christianity. And we were debating which one is the correct faith. And all we are involved in talking about, I may not even remember, but I do remember Dr. Paul Bowers, who was a student graduate, PhD candidate, and a graduate from Cambridge University, who facilitated this move. Ordinary debate. The rest of them is history. The rest is history. You may never know what God may be pushing you to. And that's why it is said, do not neglect the days of small beginning. And the people you meet and call ordinary today, they may be ordinary today, but you never know what is in the seed of their destiny. And it shall explode someday. And to your shame, you will know that you have thrown away precious jewel that God had given you to help you on your path, but you were short-sighted. Because we're only looking on the now. And so it was. Yes, please. Till you get to verse 20.
Verse 17.
Yes.
So when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him. There he is.
Yes, there it is. That's the man I told you about.
The man of whom I spoke to you.
That's the man. That is the man who will be the king of Israel. King of Israel. Yes.
This one shall reign over my people. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, please tell me, where is the seer's house?
Look at, he didn't even know whom the prophet was. He went to Samuel and said, please, where is the prophet's house? And Samuel said, I am. You are the prophet. Amen. Yes, carry on.
Verse 19.
Yes.
Samuel answered Saul and said,
yes,
I am the seer.
I am the seer.
Go up before me to the high place.
He said, come up to the high place. We have an honored place for people like you. Can you imagine the consternation on Saul's face? I'm looking for my father's goat. I came into this place. And this man said, come. For what? Just keep coming. Please, that's the high table. I want to go. Okay, I'm not dressed well. Just go up. Yes?
Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today.
Yes.
And tomorrow I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your heart. Verse 20.
Yes.
But as for your donkeys that were lost
By the way, the donkeys that prompted you to come out of your father's house, we have found them. This is not donkey now. The donkey was what God used to stage your coming out so that I can find you. Celebrity is not the issue, but it was what your friend used to invite you so that I can reach you, so that I can be able to open the canal of your destiny, so I can be able to show you what God wants to do in your life. And you must not disappoint God in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, please.
But as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, do not be anxious about them, for they have been found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel?
Hey.
Is it not on you and on all your father's house?
Hey! Yeah! Listen to what Saul said. Yes?
Verse 21.
Yes.
And Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite?
Yeah. He said, no, Moabu, the king of Israel, all the desire of Israel. I hope you know my last name and you know my tribe. Yes?
Am I not a Benjamite?
I'm a Benjamite.
Of the smallest of the tribes of Israel.
I'm from the smallest tribe.
And my family, the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin.
Excuse me, Oga prophet, I hope you are seeing well. Do you know what you are saying? Yes.
Why then do you speak like this to me?
How come you are talking to me like this? Verse 22.
Now Samuel took Saul and his servants, yes, and brought them into the hall.
You enter chapter 10 and verse 1, you stop. Yes.
And had them sit in the place of honor among those who were invited.
Hallelujah.
And there were about 30 persons.
Hallelujah.
Verse 23. And Samuel said to the cook, bring the portion.
Listen again, another thing. Samuel said to the cook,
bring the portion which I give you.
Where is that portion of meat I told you that when the king designate comes, we shall give it to him? Hello, are you there? Are you still here?
Yes.
When Saul left his father's house, did he know he was a king designate? My friend, things are not as ordinary as you think. That's why you have to be serious in life and make sure you take every step with God. He has walked through this terrain and he said, allow me to lead you. That's what it means to be born again. When you are born again, you are allowing God to lead you and he will never fail you in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, please.
And Samuel said to the cook, bring the portion which I give you,
yeah,
of which I said to you, set it apart. Verse 24. So the cook took up the thigh with its upper part and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, here it is, what was kept back. It was set apart for you.
Hey.
Eat, for until this time it has been kept for you.
Did you hear that? Do you know how long God has been waiting for you? But today you are here, and you will not fail God in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, please.
For until this time it has been kept for you, since I said I invited the people. So Saul ate with Samuel that day. Verse 25. When they had come down from the high place into the city, Samuel spoke with Saul on the top of the house. They arose early, and it was about the dawning of the day that Samuel called to Saul on the top of the house, saying, get up, that I may send you on your way. And Saul arose, and both of them went outside, he and Samuel.
I want you to listen to that verse 27 very carefully, because you see, sometimes when God is walking, he does not need to send thunder and hail upon you. God walks in the most natural, ordinary way. He makes it so easy for you to respond to him. Yes, please.
As they were going down to the outskirts of the city,
yes,
Samuel said to Saul,
tell
the servant to go on ahead of us.
I want you to notice wisdom here. He told the servant, who was actually his bodyguard, tell him to maintain some steps ahead of us. Let us come behind. Yes.
And he went on.
And as they were coming, listen very carefully.
But you stand here a while that I may announce to you the word of God.
I want you to stay here so I can tell you why God made your father's sheep to be lost and why your father sent you. What you came out for was not the sheep. They have found the sheep without you. So if you came to find the sheep, how come they found it without you? It's not the sheep. I want you to know you have a destiny that God wants to reveal to you. And then he's going to announce it to him. Yes, please.
Chapter 10, verse 1.
Chapter 10, verse 1.
Then Samuel took a flask of oil.
Samuel took a flask of oil.
And poured it on
His head.
And kissed him and said,
kissed him.
Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander? Over his inheritance.
Over all his inheritance. And he gave him the signs that will follow him as he was going. This is what you follow you. To know that what you came out was not for sheep. What you came out was not just to honor an invitation. What you came out was not just to come fellowship. What you came out was not just to come and see. That was how God could reach you. And for some of you, God have reached you through friends. God have reached you through tapes. God have reached you through something. But there has to be an interface between you and God so that God can reach you. And in reaching you, he can communicate to you what he means for you to receive. And that is why tonight, when I ask you and make an appeal, I want you, if you are here and you are not certain that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, I want you to hurriedly surrender your life to him. Only then, and only then, can Jesus begin to make the difference in your life? I'd like us to pray right now, wherever you are. And if you know, I am not sure that Jesus is truly the Lord of my life, and I want to receive him, I want to have him, I want you to stand where you are. You said, I want to receive him into my life. God bless you as you are doing that. God bless you as you are doing that. Just stand where you are. You said, I want him, I need him tonight. I need to have him. It's not somebody, it's not what somebody told me. Yeah, somebody may have told you, forget it. That was the ass. That was the missing thing. That was not the purpose. This purpose is now you intercommunication with the Lord. That's why God has brought you to this place. I want you to stand on your feet where you are. He said, I want to give my life to Jesus. I need to make that vital contact that will mean that that thing that is my eternal future, that thing that is the purpose of God in my life, nobody can thwart it. I want you to stand on your feet if you need Jesus to that extent. And those of you who are standing and those who are yet to stand, please come over here and meet me. Make room for them as they come over here. Just come over here and help them as they come over here to space up. Come over here. I need to tell you what must happen. What must do. Just come over here. I want to talk to you. And there are still some of you. It is so important to know. It's not the sheep. It's not what was lost. It's not, oh, somebody said that. And so, I happen to. I want you to come forward and step forward. I want to be able to talk with you. Just step forward right here and come up here. I want to talk with you right now. So there's a reason. There's a purpose of God. Ah, his father's sheep was lost. Adam, you think it's sheep? It has nothing to do with sheep. It has everything to do with the mind and the purpose of God. And we are asking you to step forward at this hour, wherever you are. He said, I need that vital contact with Jesus Christ. I'd like you to stand where you are. And standing, come forward and meet me here. Don't sit back. It is not a question of he went out with the servant, therefore, then he came out with the servant. No, when it came for that revelation, Samuel told the servant, move forward. If Samuel was not for Saul and the boy moved forward, and then he poured out God's word upon Saul. And there are some of you here, God will want to reach, but he wants some of your friend to keep a step away from you. He wants you to keep a step away from some of your friends. They are ruining your life. They are controlling you for evil. They are making you not obey God. Tonight, you can take the first step. And I want you, in taking that first step, stand up on your feet where you are. I said, I want that Jesus to make that connection in my life. My friend, I want you to try God. Just try him this night. If you try the Lord Jesus and he failed you, and he failed you, let me know. I want you, wherever you are, just stand. You have an opportunity to do so right away. Those of you who are standing and who have come here, I'm going to tell you what must happen. And if you are honest with God, you will notice that God will reach you beyond just the ordinary event of today. You will find out and you ask, is that how it is? That's how it is. If as it works in the negative, it also works even so in the spiritual, positively. Because God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I'm inviting you right now. Listen carefully to me. Jesus makes all the difference. And I want you to listen. If you are honest, your life will not be the same after tonight. I'd like you to know your life will not be the same after tonight. You will know that there have been a choice portion kept for you before now, but you were running round and round. But thank God that today you've made up your mind. God have also determined to open up the vistas for you. Now repeat after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I stand before you today, and I come as I am. I'm asking you, oh God, forgive me my sins. I invite you into my life as my Savior, and my Lord, deliver me from myself and the powers of darkness. Today, I invite Christ, the Lord Jesus, to take control of my life, of my mind, of myself. I surrender to Him. Every covenant with the powers of darkness, I cancel them. Tonight, I plead the blood of Jesus on my life forever. I will belong to Christ. Amen. And I would like the children of God to pray. This hour, spiritual transactions occur, and at this hour, we are going to pray. As we are praying, our praying, and I'd like you to know we are praying at this hour. The church praying with you, and the people of God praying, and the saints getting themselves ready on what must be. Let's have no gap on this area. Let's be praying and speak to the Lord concerning them. Let's speak to the Lord concerning them. Right now, wherever you are, begin to prophesy to the living God concerning them. Begin to prophesy to the living God concerning them, each and every one of them. Father in heaven, we come today, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We come against the stubbornness of the enemy, the powers of darkness, the wickedness of Lucifer, incantations of the enemy, false demons, entities, wherever they come, whatever they represent. Father, we annul their power. We cancel it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We speak deliverance, O God, unto them, and say that the yoke of the enemy shall be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we break every fetter and every yoke of the enemy. We shout out to pieces, O God, the covenant of Hades, and I challenge whatever they represent in the powers in the air, in the land, and on the sea. And I ask that by the experience of the God of Elijah, the fire from on high shall destroy every incantation of the enemy. Father, today, that the anointing of God shall make the difference in their life forever. They shall know you, whom to know is life eternal. They shall receive deliverance, salvation, liberation, O God. In their inner man, they shall know you. You are the Lord of glory. Let your power be released upon their body and upon their tabernacle in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we covenant them, O God, that their name shall be written in the book of life, that the glory shall go to you and to none other. Father, be glorified even this day upon this life. We sign, O God, that whatever you do abides forever. Every confusion of mind, we attack it in the name of Jesus Christ. Every confusion of mind, we remove it in the name of Jesus. Every double-mindedness, we neutralize the powers of our Ogbonge spirit, of wicked incantations. Father, we neutralize them in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak release upon their foreheads. We speak soundness of mind upon their forehead in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the people of God say, amen.
Amen.
I want to be able to talk with some of us. By the word of the Lord, some of you are too smart for God. That's why your blessing is eluding you. There are some of you, it's not that you don't know the Lord. Manunu marife, kariamuon sochineke. You know it's deception. Somebody cannot be wiser than the Spirit of God. But some of you have crossed that level where God can no longer reach you. You are too smart for God. And if God tells you to move right, God, how can you tell me to move right? Can't you see that right here hits the wall? How can you say turn left? God. God, if I'm a wall, would you ever... And some of you will not do that because you are too smart. What you don't know is that he who told you to turn left has a contingency plan you don't know to handle every obstacle on your path. And that's why the mother of Jesus told them on the first miracle, whatsoever he asks you to do, do it. Take ordinary water and give to people to drink. And ordinary water became wine. They obeyed and they saw a miracle. Some of you have passed the threshold of miracle. Every miracle, you must understand it. You must explain it. And even some of you who are married, contradict your husband, contradict your wife, contradict your children. Even when they come with inspirational things that can help you, you use your suppressive power to kill them. And some of you, it's not marriage, it's your friends. You need to put some of these people a step further. I want you to kindly read for me again, Reverend Obinna, the last verse. The last two verses of that chapter 9 before we pray this prayer. Chapter 9 and into chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. The last two verses, I think it's verse 27 or so, of chapter 9 of 1 Samuel. Yes, please.
The last two verses.
Yes.
Verse 26 and 27.
Yes.
They arose early, and it was about the dawning of the day.
Early in the morning.
That Samuel called to Saul on the top of the house.
Samuel called to Saul, who was on the top of the house.
Saying, get up.
Get up.
That I may send you on your way.
So I can send you on your way.
And Saul arose.
Saul arose.
And both of them went outside.
And both of them went outside.
He and Samuel.
He and Samuel.
Verse 27.
Yes.
As they were going down to the outskirts.
As they were going to the outskirts of the city.
Samuel said to Saul.
Samuel said to Saul. And I say to some of you who are like Saul here. You need to send off some of the people that are hindering your spiritual walk. You must make that decision. If you don't do it, you will not get to the message in chapter 10. Yes, please.
Samuel said to Saul, tell the servant to go.
Tell the servant
to go on ahead of us.
Let him go on ahead.
And he went on.
And he went on ahead. And then listen to what he said.
But you stand here a while.
I want you to stand here.
That I may announce to you the word of God.
I will announce to you the counsel of God. Sometimes you may not get the counsel of God when you are yoked with the wrong person. Whether in friendship or in business, in home or anywhere. But some of you need to maintain some steps ahead. I say, my friend, what you don't know is that even if you're twins, you don't have the same destiny. Everybody has got a different fate. And you must discover why God has called you. And so right now, there are some of you, you need to be able to tell some of these your people that you know, that are copulating you in hindering your spiritual work. You need to exercise the spiritual authority tonight. Tell them, call them by name in your prayer. And say, my friend, give me some gap. Let me have a break. Separate yourself from me so I can know what God wants to do with my life. Some of you, for one foolish reason, selfish reason, greed reason, whatever, have yoked yourself with God and you have missed divine opportunity. Let us pray. And if you are a child of God, you need to know and speak directly to what God is talking about tonight. I want you to be able to speak specifically. You see, this is this thing, and I want you to talk to that thing. Let's arise in prayer right now and talk to God. Tell him, God, I am talking to you. I know what is my problem. And I want you to name that thing in your prayer. Tell him, God, this is what I know. And tell that person, tell that thing. My friend, if it's your phone, if it's your laptop, if it is computer, if it is cyber cafe, give me a gap. Give me a space. Let me hear what God is saying. Because with you, I cannot hear God. You are like an obstacle between me and my God. It could be anything. Tell God about that thing tonight. And let him begin to meet you. And Samuel said, wait here. Let me tell you the word of the Lord. My friend, the word of the Lord is for you. You. Not for company, not for group. And there are some of you who may still need to surrender your life to Christ. You see, you haven't given your life to Christ because you are ashamed. You didn't tell what people will say to you. There is still opportunity. And I want you to step out here now. He said, I want to give my life to Christ. I want you to step out and do so. Receive him and don't live here without that decision if you are here. It's important that you did that. And very important that God will reach you and you'll be able to experience the power of God in your life. But you need to have that interface. You need to have that break. It doesn't matter what it may be. It is tonight, a night of decision. Heavenly Father, we pray, oh God, tonight, whatever it may be, very useful boy that was there to Samuel with Saul. But at this point in time, the divine message was not for his ears. It was only for Saul. And he needed to keep a distance. Father, we are asking, keep us away from those phones, those laptops, those TVs, those cyber cafe, those music things, those people, whatever they represent that hinder your word to us, oh God. Break through. Father, we have a divide between the sincere prayers going on here and the people. We separate them from those things. We carve them out from them, oh God. And let them hear your voice clear. And may their obedience yield the desired fruit. Father, oh God, separate them from where they have found themselves, bowel or poor. And they are almost ready for your judgment. Because they have found the fleeting pleasures and the deceitfulness of sin more important than your word. Father, save them from destruction. Thank you, O God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Again, same time next week on Living Springtime. We invite you to worship with us at the Praise Temple of Amazing Love Assembly, Transekulu, Enugu, on Sunday by 8:30 a.m., Monday prayer power by 5 p.m., Wednesday Holy Convocation by 12 noon, Wednesday Bible study by 5 p.m., and Friday night vigil by 12 midnight. Remember, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases.